The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Thinking three steps ahead, that's the focus of tonight's angle.
Trump told you this morning it was a great time to buy. Did you listen? If you did, you're rich.
Because Trump announced a brilliant move to pause the higher tariffs on countries negotiating with us, but meanwhile, to raise China's tariffs to 125%.
The markets right now are extremely good.
The man who is calling today Trump's declaration of victory.
Deal making is an art. President Trump has clearly mastered the art. It was an impressive couple of weeks.
Trump created maximum leverage for himself, and now his team's sitting pretty.
It's genius.
I think his sort of evil genius is playing out in this whole process.
This was his strategy all along, and that, you know, you might even say that he goaded China into a bad position.
We made China, and we can break them.
I believe that he ambushed China. I believe that he suckered the whole world. And I just think he wants the best possible deal he can get for the United States of America. God bless him for that. That's why people really dig the guy. That's why he's hard to beat. That charisma is unbelievable. I could sing his praises forever. And
it took great courage for him to stay the course until this moment.
This was a test. If you called, you're an ally. And we fly you in for a trade summit. China didn't call this morning. They retaliated with an 84% tariff on American exports. And that told us exactly who they were, not our friends. This was a trap, and China walked right into it.
And all these pundits who thought China would benefit from this, America's losing all of its significance, all of its moral high ground. What a lot of...
Yeah, and I'll just add this one thing.
What a lot of... that was.
You have to have courage. You have to stick it out. I went to my Twitter followers. I said, please don't sell. This is on Sunday and Monday. Please don't sell unless you absolutely have to. And then look what he does. Oh, surprise. This is why Trump is triumphant.
Trump has the cards and he's telling everyone, be cool.
See, just be cool. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. And it's working out. I can tell you, working out maybe faster than I thought.
Wow. At the risk of sounding like MSNBC, it seems like there's quite a lot of spin right about now. From the Trump administration, from his supporters in MAGA media or among Republicans. Everything was perfect. 9 days ago, it's Liberation Day, and we have to have the tariffs because friend and foe. Both of them. And sometimes he said, in a lot of cases, it's worse among friends. And so we need these tariffs. And then they're off. Then there's a pause. And as you heard there, it's brilliant. It's genius. This is what was the plan all along. I think one of his cabinet officials said that he had the courage to stay the course for 9 days. Seriously? It's pretty amazing to see this play out. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. You can get to the live video stream, you or your friends, if you tell them all about it. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com or the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Now, as I've said before, you have to applaud Donald Trump for his willingness to stand against unfairness, unfair trade practices. He's been, well, as he says over and again, I'm doing what every president before me refused to do. I know them. I know they wouldn't do it. And he's right. He's right. Trump is standing against a lot. But this is also revealing just how sick this sin-drenched world is. As I was discussing with the news gatherers earlier, I mean, it's amazing how God used Jeroboam to expose the sickness of Antiochus and this communist infiltration of the United States. And now, more broadly, it's like he's using Jeroboam to expose just how sick the whole world is, whether it's the stocks, the bond market, the housing market, the economy, the debt, whatever it is, the way America's getting ripped off. He's going up against a lot. You can't necessarily fault him for being optimistic, but the overconfidence and the short-sightedness. I mean, and I'm saying that as one who happens to believe that in the short term, it's probably going to be pretty good for the United States, maybe in the next year, 18 months, whatever it is. But to just say that, well, now China's hemmed in, it's over. Trump won. All it took was 9 days. What about all the friends that were benefiting from unfair trade practices? Now, suddenly, it's just China. Now, China's America's enemy, and the rest of the world is America's friend. Really? I mean, look at what Europe was saying. Now, Europe gets a free pass. You've got Merz over in Germany saying, we won. It took him 9 days. The Daily Telegraph is saying, 9 days ago, it's the day of liberation. Today, it's the day of capitulation. Wow. How about that? And furthermore, as I've been saying, never mind what positive action or development it represents for the United States, how does the rest of the world see this? How does Europe see this? We'll get to that and more as we proceed. This is from Steve Miller. He's in the administration, and we played his clips yesterday. He's a smart guy. He says, this is a tweet, you have been watching the greatest economic master strategy from an American president in history. I mean, that is over the top. Forgive me. That is over the top. The greatest economic master strategy in history. So they can do no wrong. Furthermore, nothing bad can come from any of these decisions, developments, nothing. I told you last week we were going through just the spirit of this age. The spirit of competition is so strong. I mean, when you get to the point where it's every nation for itself, looking out for its own self-interest, and you happen to be dwelling in a world full of nuclear weapons, how does this end? Well, it doesn't end well. It does not end well. NBC News, how Trump changed his mind on tariffs. Trump and his officials in his administration were fielding calls from worried allies, and his advisors presented him with worrying data about the bond markets. We talked about this yesterday. The bond markets being on the verge of collapse. Now, Trump and his people have been out there saying, look, I'm not so much concerned about the stock market. I mean, he keeps his eye on it for sure. But he's concerned about Main Street, not Wall Street. The bond markets, on the other hand, that's another story, because there you're talking about, you know, treasury bonds that some of America's adversaries are holding on to. They start a rapid sell-off. I've got another article here that talks about rising interest rates and how this might affect the housing market. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a lot of complicated stuff that half of it I don't even understand. But he's got some smart people. And when he removes the tariffs after 9 days, and then everybody comes out and says, that's just exactly how we drew it up. I mean, this is brilliant. This is genius. He's kind of an evil genius. You listen to all that and you know, this doesn't sound quite right. I think there's more to the story. I think we need to read between the lines here. Trump pulled back Wednesday on a series of harsh tariffs targeting friends and foes alike in an audacious bid to remake the global economic order. His announcement followed a harrowing week in which Republican lawmakers and confidants privately warned him that the tariffs could wreck the economy. His own aides had quietly raised alarms about the financial markets before he suspended a tariff regime that he had unveiled with a flourish just 1 week earlier in a Rose Garden ceremony. This is Liberation Day. So what happened to Liberation Day? This was America's day of freedom, where finally you had free and fair tariffs, or at least free and fair trade in the sense that, you know, the tariffs over there were similar here. Well, when the interest rates on those treasury bonds kept rising, I mean, usually when the stock market plummets, you know, investors can find safe haven in the bond market. But when the bond market is teetering, I mean, when you have a $36 trillion debt, which the United States has, I mean, rising interest rates among the bond market, that's America's worst nightmare. It made me, as I got into this morning, it just made me think of all those articles that the late Tim Thompson wrote in the 1990s, that what happens when China and Japan and so many of these nations band together and they sell off the debt of the United States that they own. Or we'll see how engaged they are in the U.S. housing market as well. As I said yesterday, I mean, China does have leverage. Yes, they're vulnerable in a lot of ways, too. And as I said yesterday, it looks like America would come out on top, at least in the short term. But to just dismiss China all of a sudden and to assume that everybody in the world now sees China for what it is. Now China is not just an adversary of America, but for everyone. Really? There's people reaching out to China even as we speak. Listen to this from Fox News yesterday, clip 3.
One of the things that was freaking people out is there was a gigantic sell-off in the U.S. bond market. And U.S. bonds, treasuries, have always been seen as the gold standard around the world. And if there are cracks in that, we're all kind of screwed.
A lot of the people who normally buy U.S. treasuries were wondering whether the president was really serious about what he was saying when he was saying that we're going to renegotiate better deals for the American people. And I knew he was serious, and he knew he was serious. And we had been working on plans for the negotiations for weeks, and even had a couple of deals mm-hmm. lined up that maybe were close to being announced. And we're getting ready to talk about, well, what's the next stage? What's the next step for the negotiations? Yesterday morning was on a call with the president, with the Swiss president, talking about a Swiss trade deal. And so the point is, everything was moving. But then when the bond market started to say, hey, we don't believe these guys, I think right. The president decided on his own, really, that, well, we're going to announce this anyway. We might as well do it today.
Isn't that another way of saying that the bond market uncertainty was the reason why they hit the pause button on the tariffs? So all these commentators and again, there are a lot of commentators that I like, but brilliant, genius. Listen to this from another commentator that was on with Fox, clip 18.
I want to tell you right now that Donald Trump outsmarted the world. Trust me, I'm an American. I support my president, but that's not really what happened here from what I understand. And I know I'll get pushback, but here's what it is. What happened in the bond market overnight, the spike in yields on the 30-year and the 10-year bond, which showed that people were dumping our bonds. And who were those people mm-hmm. dumping our bonds? Japan, the biggest holder of bonds, was selling bonds. That's what I'm getting from some very big money managers. China, maybe to some extent, but it was largely Japan and others. If you have a mass sale of bonds, that means people are losing confidence in the U.S. economy, on the ability to do deals with us. And from what I understand, this is what forced the hand of this 90-day reprieve. Now, is it a good thing? You know, are people coming to the table? Yeah. But if you read between the lines, or not even what Scott Bessent said, we have no deals, right? There's nobody that is really there saying this is what we're going to do. And they paused it anyway.
9 days ago, Liberation Day, no deals in that period. I mean, yes, a lot of people on the phone, as he rightfully points out. A lot of people reaching out to America saying, hey, what can we do? But no deals yet, no deals on the table. And now everything's paused. Now you hit the pause button on everyone but China. And so, again, I don't want to just sit here and pick sides or argue over, was this brilliant? Or is it because of the bond market nearly collapsing? But at least there were a few that took a different view that made it onto Fox. But you hear there in the cold open how so many of them feel. Even President Trump, for his part, if you're listening closely, he lets on, you know, what led up to this, why he made this decision after 9 days after Liberation Day. This is clip one.
Just a few hours later, there was a pause put in on the tariffs. Can you walk us through your thinking about why you decided to put a 90-day pause?
Well, I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid, unlike these champions, because we have a big job to do. No other president would have done what I did.
He was asked, why did you pause the tariffs? And as he said there, people were getting a little bit yippy. I haven't heard that one before, but yippy and afraid. Yippy and afraid. And so he had to make this move. He knows. I played the clips for you yesterday. If he pulls this off, he'll go down as the greatest in history. But as I say, the deeper we get into this, the more you see just the sickness, the extent of the sickness, and it goes beyond America. I mean, I know that passage in Isaiah 1 is primarily focusing on the Israelite nations, but there is a sickness that is worldwide. And here comes Jeroboam yet again, blowing the lid off of it so you can see it. I mean, all of the as I was telling Sam this morning, The back and forth or this side or that side, it just kind of obscures the fact that this is not God's world, that this whole system is unsustainable, that we need new government. We need world government. We need Jesus Christ to return to this earth, just as he said that he would in Matthew 24 and elsewhere. I mean, the Bible says it over and again. People were getting yippy. People were afraid. And so I hit the pause button. See if we can cool things down a little bit. Listen again to President Trump yesterday, clip two.
The bond market is very tricky. I was watching it, but if you look at it now, it's beautiful. The bond market right now is beautiful. But I saw last night where people were getting a little queasy. I think everything had... the big move wasn't what I did today. The big move was what I did on Liberation Day.
So he kind of downplays the pause. The big move was Liberation Day, where, as he said then, and all leading up to it, we need fair trade across the board. And in a lot of cases, friends have been taking advantage of the United States. Friends and foes alike. Look at how quickly the narrative changed. Yippee. Afraid, queasy. He saw what Japan was doing. His people did, for sure. And China. And the interest rates on the rise. He knows what that does to the American economy. And so, as I say, you read between the lines and see very quickly there's quite a lot more to the story. And I'm sure there's additional details and information and research that we're unaware of. We're not here to go out on a limb and to try to pick sides with some, you know, humanly devised movement. But, you know, the Mart of Nations prophecy still stands. And how that, you know, fits together with the resurgence, the temporary resurgence in America, remains to be seen. But obviously, it could be a couple of years of a resurgence followed by the rest of the world preparing to oppose the United States, to go forward, like maybe some of these commentators you've seen or I quoted, assuming that the world, except China, the world loves us and the world hates China. I mean, that's delusional, really. Look at the world we live in. Look at where just trade alone shows you how much opposition there is to the United States. And then the fact that Donald Trump comes in promising tariffs, he has exposed nations' true feelings toward the U.S., particularly in Europe, as I've said. This article from The Telegraph, how fears of market Armageddon forced Trump into a truss climb down. Forced. Well, this is their take. And as I've said repeatedly, Whether or not Donald Trump and his advisors are 100% right or 50% right or whatever, what is important is, or at least another component to this story that's very important, is how they view it overseas. Just as the UK's former Prime Minister Liz Truss was forced to reverse her unfunded tax cuts after a bond vigilante rebellion in September 2022, Trump has suddenly about turned on his reciprocal tariffs in the face of a looming global financial meltdown. Remember, all of these that he announced so proudly 9 days ago, all of these were just reciprocal. He brought out the big chart, remember? And he said, you know, this is what they charge us. And so now we're going to charge this. And actually, it's a good deal for them because we're going to charge about half what they charge us. The enormous rollback shows that even Trump has to bow to markets. And what had become a tidal wave of criticism as economists sounded huge alarm bells over an imminent recession and financial crisis, Trump might have played it down, but he could not deny that his big problem was bond yields. And then it gives the quote that you just heard there about, you know, people are a little queasy, a little yippy, a little afraid. Queasy was an understatement. Normally, interest rates on government debt go down when stock markets fall. If investors sell stocks, they typically want to move their money to safe haven assets, which drives up demand. This time around, the opposite happened. It says here, instead of buying, investors embarked on an incredibly aggressive sell-off. And as you heard from the president himself, I was watching the bond market last night. Now, today it's beautiful. Last night, queasy, yippy, afraid. Today, it's beautiful. You see just how volatile this whole system is. I mean, even yesterday, for the stock market to skyrocket, and everybody's like, it's all over. Now we're prosperous. Jesse Waters said, if you would have listened to the president when he tweeted at 9:37 a.m., you'd be rich right now. What a system. Up and down, just jerking people around right and left. Is this a system that really gives you a comfortable sense of stability and strength? Or is it one that's just teetering on the brink of flat-out disaster and ruin and desolation? God has his hand and his timetable in play here. And so his work has to be finished. And it's no problem for God to hold things up or to accelerate things along for the work's sake. God's work does have a message to get out, and God's given us tremendous favor and resources and support, enthusiastic support all over the world for such a small group of supporters. But there is a cutoff point. And Jesus was talking about that in the Olivet Prophecy. Master, please show us what will be the sign of your coming to this earth. And Jesus gave them a series of signs, step by step by methodical step. And you arrive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's coming. And we're 2,000 years closer to it than they were there at the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ in 31 AD. Pretty amazing. We're close. We're at the end of this age. All of these signs that are all around us, the instability, the volatility, the spirit of competition, the strife, the back channel deals, nations stabbing each other in the back. I'm sure there are a lot of nations lining up to put in a phone call to the President of the United States. But there's some phone calls going into Beijing as well, just so that you know. That's happening too. This is the world we live in. China has friends. China has a powerful economy. China has 1 billion people. China's been taking advantage of the United States. China's been stealing our technology. China's been reproducing what we've produced a lot cheaper because they have slave labor over there. It's a system that really and truly is filled with sickness and disease. And there's no physician. Now, in Donald Trump, there's at least someone who's willing to, you know, rip it open and say, look, there's the cancer. And he's right. He's right about that. But given the way he responded to the bond market, he knows just how close we are to total collapse. It says here, at the same time, the dollar, another safe haven asset that would typically strengthen on recession warnings, tanked. So you had the bond market tanked, the dollar tanked, even as the stock market was collapsing. That's not good for America. The market is rapidly de-dollarizing. We wrote about this in the morning brief the other day. Rapidly de-dollarizing. This is still from the Daily Telegraph. Investors have been shunning all things American. We are witnessing a simultaneous collapse in the price of all U.S. assets, including equities, the dollar, and the bond market. It says the market has lost faith in U.S. assets. Now, again, it's not like any of this is Donald Trump's fault. To his credit, he's getting in there and addressing the problem. But my point is that the problem is gargantuan. The problem is like an elephant stepping on a colony of ants. The problem is beyond the ability of man to solve. Good for some of them to get in there and try to solve it. That's much better than what we saw previously with the fake president. And then all these other presidents, Republican, Democrat alike, that sold out the American worker, the working class, to cheap Chinese goods. The sickness in small town America, it hollowed out. And now a lot of them are just drug infested ghost towns. Oh, yeah, there's prosperity in Manhattan or San Francisco. But what about small town, you know, Nebraska or Pennsylvania or Ohio? And how does this get fixed? Well, you know, the Trump administration wants to bring back the manufacturing jobs, put people to work, clamp down on the border, get rid of the fentanyl coming in from China. And these are problems that run deep, and they've gone on for generations. And then you look at the other side and how laughable it is coming from them. Here they're screaming for 9 days, remove the tariffs, remove the tariffs. And then he does yesterday, and all that they have left is to defend China and to accuse Trump of insider trading. Yeah, get your stocks. It's a good time to buy. There is no hope in man. That's what all of this reinforces. No hope in man. It says here, if the value of U.S. Treasuries tank, there's a massive risk to the global financial system. You talk about the entire system being disrupted by tariffs. If U.S. Treasuries tank, that's going to be quite the global upset. And it's going to bring down America. It says maybe this erosion of the dollar is going to start sooner rather than later. If that's the case, then the risk for a financial crisis is really strong. I mentioned earlier that Friedrich Merz in Germany, he's declaring victory. He said Trump's pause of tariffs for 90 days was evidence of a united European approach to trade having a positive effect, and called for tariff-free U.S.-EU trade. Europeans are determined to defend ourselves, and this example shows that unity helps most of all. So they may be gloating in the Trump administration, at least in front of the cameras. Yeah, this was brilliant. This was the plan all along. Well, they're gloating in Europe as well. They're gloating overseas as well. Another one here from the AP. It says China's reaching out to other nations as the U.S. layers on more tariffs in what appears to be an attempt by Beijing to form a united front to compel Washington to retreat. As I say, none of this from yesterday means that the Mart of Nations prophecy is suddenly irrelevant. I mentioned the calls coming into Beijing. China's out there reaching out to its friends and probably many of its foes as well to just blindly go through all of this thinking that the world loves America. If anything, what we've seen in the last 2-3 months is just an avalanche of evidence pointing to how much the world hates America, wants to take advantage of America, wants to see America fall. China has thus far focused on Europe with a phone call between Premier Li Qiang and the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. So von der Leyen's on the phone with China. Why? I thought China's frozen out. You listened to Fox News last night and yeah, China's on an island. China's everyone's enemy. China's on the phone with Europe. It says here, the two are each other's largest trading partners. Did you know this? Europe and China? China's willing to work with the EU to jointly implement the important consensus reached by the leaders of China and the EU, strengthen communication and exchanges, and on it goes. This was followed by a video conference between the Chinese Commerce Minister and the EU Commissioner for Trade. So the lines of dialogue, they don't seem to be disrupted much. The dialogue going in and out of Beijing, I mean. The Trump people are out there saying, yeah, we've got 75 nations lining up. They want to talk to President of the United States. And I'm sure a lot of them are talking. But as I say, the dialogue goes in other directions as well. Listen to Deutsche Welle. Again, this is coming from the European perspective on the pause announcement from yesterday, clip 9.
I think the real danger going forward is that Trump has demonstrated what we all really knew about him, that he can change his mind on a dime, that he loves to jerk people around. I think the lesson the world has to learn from all of this is he's a bully. And the lesson we all learned in school was if a bully demands your lunch money today and you give it to him, he will demand your lunch money tomorrow. Yeah. And I think that we need to prepare for a very rocky next 4 years.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Europe's take on this, everything, it hasn't changed a bit. They're happy that the U.S. has pulled back. In the short term, it's better for Europe. But meanwhile, as I've covered in recent weeks, you've got the push for German militarization. I mean, that's going forward full steam ahead. And then you've got commentary like you just saw there. I mean, that's just normal. That's every night. Every night on the news in Europe. Trump's unpredictable. I mean, it's going to be a rocky road for 4 years. 74% of Germans, they see Donald Trump as a threat to German security. None of that's changed. Listen to this one from France 24, clip 15.
It's all very volatile as well, isn't it? Not just the markets that we were talking about before, but Trump himself as well. I mean, who knows what might come next?
Well, the lack of predictability here is obviously the problem. And in her statement this morning, President von der Leyen said that at the same time that the EU welcomes this news, they are also looking for other trade partners, that they're also looking around the world. And actually, right now, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is on his way to China. There was a phone call that took place yesterday between the EU president and her counterpart in China, talking about strengthening relations in light of the U.S. aggression.
Europe welcomes the news, the tariff pause, even as they're looking for other trade partners. CNBC, it says, here's how China could crush the U.S. housing market. And it ties it in with the treasury bonds and the rising interest rates and so on. But listen to this. It says if China wanted to hit us hard, they could unload treasuries. And again, we got a little preview of that the other night. And it wasn't just China. It was Japan. And this this concerned Donald Trump. And according to the Telegraph, it forced him to hit the pause button. And then all the Trump people come out and say, this was brilliant. This was genius. It says here they're going to look at pushing levers and trying to put pressure, targeting housing and mortgaging rates or mortgage rates as a powerful driver of something like that. It says here at the end of January, foreign countries owned $1.32 trillion worth of U.S. mortgage-backed securities. That's 15% of the total outstanding. They've got that big of a chunk of U.S. housing. China and company. $1.32 trillion. How did we get to this point? That's the thing. As I said, these are the problems, the sicknesses, the diseases that Donald Trump and his administration inherited. What were previous leaders in America thinking? To sell us out to our adversaries. To destroy the manufacturing in the United States. To make us so dependent on China. Even for things that are critical for the U.S. military. Made in China. Makes you think of the brought to you by Pfizer commercial. Brought to you by China. You can hardly go into a store without seeing something made in China. Or through other countries that China uses to avoid tariffs. Vietnam and elsewhere. China had already begun selling off some U.S. MBSs last year, with the country's holdings at the end of September down 8.7%. It says here further on, if China and Japan were to accelerate those sales further and if other nations were to follow, mortgage rates would rise even more than they are now. This is what Trump and his administration was very worried about earlier this week. Well, we can't have mortgage rates skyrocket because housing costs are already too high. And then if you have high interest rates on top of that, or mortgage rates, Americans aren't going to be able to buy a home. Forget about the American dream for college graduates. You know, middle-aged Americans, middle-aged families or marriages with families, they're going to be unable to purchase a home as well. This one from the Wall Street Journal. China has readied a trade war arsenal that takes aim at U.S. companies. And I touched on this with you yesterday. So it's not like because of one announcement, all of this is out the window. China thinks long term, and China has friends. I'll refer you to our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. There's a prophesied alliance there. That's going to bring about, it's going to bring together, by the way, the largest army in the history of mankind. I mean, that's some power. I mean, just looking at it in terms of numbers or population, China together with Russia, throw in India, Japan. And this all factors into prophecy significantly. America has some leverage at the moment. And so does China. Listen to France 24 again, clip 16.
But in the longer term, they're talking to China, they're talking to India, they're talking to Brazil, and some are even suggesting they should start talking to Russia about replacing the trade volume that will be lost with the United States. Because even though this reprieve has been granted here and the markets are reacting in this way, the fact is this is still all very unpredictable.
It's still so unpredictable because, you know, bad orange man. So we've got to find other partners. And that's exactly what your Bible says will happen. And who's going to suffer because of that? Primarily the United States. In the end, that's the prophetic forecast. That's where this is headed. That's what we have to keep in mind. Listen to this one from Deutsche Welle, clip 17.
Look, the United States is the world's top market. But if you think about China, if you think about South Korea, Japan, Southeast Asia, India, the EU, Canada, Mexico, these are all countries that can trade amongst each other without the United States. Now, it would be painful, but it's definitely something that's a possibility. They have a middle class, they have a consumer class, they have strong manufacturing, they have innovation. So a lot of people thinking about things that they had never thought of, a world where the United States is not dominant in the global economy.
They're still thinking about this coming world where the U.S. is not the dominant superpower, where the U.S. no longer has all the leverage, where the U.S. is collapsing under the weight of its own debt, its own deficit spending, its own trade deficit that's gone on for decades. It's like I said the other day. I mean, you can come in and confront the problem and say, that's enough. We're going to stop this. But you can't roll back $36 trillion of debt. That's still there. And you can't roll back the fact that China and Japan and all these nations have owned trillions of dollars of America's debt. And they own 15% of the housing market, at least with respect to mortgages. I mean, they're probably buying up more land than we realize as well. These conglomerates, these foreign-owned conglomerates. You just step back, though. I touched on this point earlier. You step back, you look at the bigger picture, you see this world as it is, you see what, you know, what path or course the United States has been on for 30, 40, 50 years, and you think, how did this happen? How did we get to the point where we're at today? Listen to Kevin O'Leary as he talks about China in particular, just totally disregarding any and all rules, international or otherwise, for trade. This is clip 13.
104% tariffs on China are not enough. I'm advocating 400%. I do business in China. They don't play by the rules. They've been in the WTO for decades. They have never abided by any of the rules they agreed to when they came in for decades. They cheat. They steal. They steal IP. I can't litigate in their courts. They take product, technology. They steal it. They manufacture it, sell it back here. Never has an administration
400% tariffs. What would that
I
look
want
like?
Xi on an airplane to Washington to level the playing field. This is not about tariffs anymore. Nobody has taken on China yet, not the Europeans, no administration for decades. As someone who actually does business there, I've had enough. I speak for millions of Americans who have IP that have been stolen by the Chinese. I have nothing against the Chinese people. They brought great literacy, art, and tech to the world. The government cheats and steals. And finally, an administration, you may not like Trump, you may not like his style or his rhetoric, finally, an administration that puts up and says enough. 400% tariffs tomorrow morning.
That's Kevin O'Leary. He's a business owner. He works with China. They don't abide by the rules. They cheat. They steal. You can't settle it in court in China. Obviously, it's a communist dictatorship. And this is what American leadership has been working with for decades. And you look at China and its position and its leverage, and you see why. Democrats can do little more than respond to the pause button that Donald Trump hits by saying, hey, it's too much for China. So many of these people have been bought off. Certainly the Biden crime family. Look at how much money came into the Biden's family from China. China was paying for favors. And the moment that stops, well, we're seeing, as he said there, we're seeing the result of it. It reveals just how could the United States ever even do business with China? Given what we know, given what we're seeing, given what's being exposed. Well, we do business with them because there's a lot of corruption and evil and selfishness and greed in America, too. That's the truth. Listen to O'Leary one more time, clip 14.
She can only stay the supreme leader if people are employed. If we wipe out any business there, because we are still 39% of all consumables on Earth and 25% of the world's GDP, America is the number one economy on Earth with all the cards. We will not have that forever. It's time to squeeze Chinese heads into the wall now.
Well, hold on. I'm not talking about tariffs. Well, I hear you, but hold on. If we're talking about people, the average consumer, not necessarily the head honchos of businesses all across the globe, can they withstand the pressure of that sort of tax on the goods?
It's short-lived. There will be
What's your timeline compared to, you don't know the average American's timeline, what they can actually survive. There's people right now who can't survive.
100% tomorrow morning, cheese on an airplane to Washington.
What a world. It's a world where, as I said last week, the spirit of competition is so strong. And as I also said last week, what a stark contrast to the spirit of God's sacrificial love. Something we're reminded of every year at this time, that Passover sacrifice. Christ, our Passover. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. What does that mean? Paul wrote in Hebrews 9, he's talking about all of these sacrifices of old, sacrificing bulls and goats and all this blood. What did that point to or typify? In my father's booklet, the Overcomer booklet, he said, Passover was a phenomenal time for ancient Israel. The whole nation acted out the prophecy of the Lamb of God coming down from heaven to be sacrificed for all mankind. You can read all about this in Exodus 12. The Overcomer booklet, of course, you can request. No cost, no obligation. Just call the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. But he says here, each household had a lamb. There must have been hundreds of thousands of lambs. It was a bloody night. They focused on the lamb, which pointed to the Lamb of God. No other nation in history has ever done anything like that. Now, most of the world is in total ignorance of this Old Testament practice, this bloody affair. And how we're to observe the Passover, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, who changed the symbols and instituted the foot washing ceremony to go with it. I mean, even the Jewish nation today, they just kind of blend the Passover together with the days of unleavened bread. And they don't do what's described in Luke 22 or John 13, Matthew 26, I think it is. Paul in Hebrews 9, he's writing about these sacrifices. He says in verse 13, if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more will that purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus Christ offered himself. He spilled his blood. And this is what all of those bloody sacrifices of old, as my father says, I mean, it was a bloody night, the night of Passover in ancient Israel. And God meant for it to be that way. It's not that he gets any kicks out of seeing human beings slaughter animals. But this is what he wants our minds on at this time of year, the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ spilled his blood because of our sins. That's what it amounts to. Verse 22, further on, this is still Hebrews 9. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged or purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I mean, just the whole concept of blood, the composition of the human body, God made it this way because of this tremendous sacrifice. All this shows that God had to come in the flesh. God made all things through the Word, Ephesians 3:9. So the Word's life was of more value than all human beings put together. So what a price. Jesus had to come in the flesh. Life is in the blood, it says in Leviticus 17. So Christ, or the Word, had to come in the flesh as Jesus Christ so that he could spill his blood, so that he could be the lamb sacrifice. In John 1, the disciples saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God's mentioned like 22 times, I think it is, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the book that has all these prophecies. The Lamb of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's in Revelation 13. It had to happen this way. There was a first coming where he'd be the Lamb sacrifice and establish the church of God. And then over the history of that church, you'd lead right into the last days. The days that the disciples of the first century were so curious about. What's going to happen in the last days leading right up to the return of Christ, or your return to this earth? And Christ told them. God reveals in his perfect plan that only by the shedding of blood is there the remission of sins. This is what's missing from all the dialogue today, from all of the reactions to this is happening here, and I think it's this reason. No, no, it's over here, it's this reason. Then you sit down, you hear a little bit of the news, you put together the montage that we played for the cold open, and it's hard not to cringe. Wow, that's a lot of confidence on display. There doesn't seem like there's a lot of humility there. Contrast the spirit of competition and strife, which is so strong in the world today, with the sacrificial love of God that we're reminded of at Passover. In the Overcomer booklet, it says, "Can you imagine how vile and grotesque sin is to actually claim the life of our Creator?" That was the cost. That was the cost. Think about that. That's what sin cost the God family. How much does the Father hate sin? What does Christ think? Or what does he think about when he thinks about sin? When you think about sin, when we become casual with sin or complacent living in sin, it just shows what we think about that Lamb of God being slaughtered. God isn't casual or complacent about it. God's plan is to blot it out. God's plan is to purge this world of sin and the way of sin, the way of the devil. He's the father of murder and lying and hate. But that's coming to an end. Notice verse 25, we're still in Hebrews 9. It says here, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once," it says, "once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." You see, God's purpose, his plan of redemption, is to put away sin by that sacrifice of Christ. Now, there's more to it than that. Passover just begins the annual festivals of God. The death of Christ upon repentance and faith, it just wipes the slate clean, our past sins. But then you go on from there, and Romans 5, verses 8 to 10 brings this out. And it says that we're saved by his life. We have to follow Christ, just like the Israelites had to follow the pillar cloud out of Egypt, a type of sin. They had to go forward and look to Christ. Read it in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You see all of that symbolism of old and what it pointed to and what our journey should be like in these last days as spiritual Israelites, following God, looking to Christ, living like Christ, coming out of sin. Yeah, that's God's plan. Satan, of course, he's inspired so many in religion today, the traditional Christian world, to just, you know, again, take a complacent position with respect to sin. Reason that, well, God's law was done away or Jesus kept it for you, so you don't have to really do much of anything. That's not the teaching of the Bible. And the teaching of the Bible is so wonderful. It answers everything. It shows us the way. But we've got to be willing to go that way. And it's not the easy and broad way, as Jesus said. It's the difficult, narrow road to go down. But the blessings that come from living that way, I mean, I'm out of time, but they're described all through the Bible as well. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.